Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and Merry Christmas! Christmas is going to be here very soon, and Jesus said in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and the countryside and urge everybody you find to come in so that my house will be full. Who are you thinking of to bring to your church? Whoever it is, I want to challenge you to be a light at Christmas and invite them to services at your church.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We're so glad you're here with us today. Rick is going to begin the first part of a message called The Greatest Gifts You'll Ever Get. This is a powerful Christmas message about how God's love, grace, and purpose will bring you lasting hope and joy. Now let's get right to Rick.
Now the whole purpose of Christmas is summed up in the most famous verse in the Bible. It's a verse that we've all heard many times, John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says this, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the whole purpose of Christmas. God so loved the world, by the way, it all starts with love, that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. God so loved the world that he gave the very first Christmas gift. The whole reason that we give gifts at Christmas is because God started this whole tradition by giving the first Christmas gift. And the first Christmas gift was God's gift of his son to you. It's the first gift, it's the most expensive gift you'll ever get, and it's the greatest gift you're ever going to receive. Now follow the logic of the Bible. Romans chapter 8 says this on your outline. Since God did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all, then can we not expect that with him God will freely give us all his gifts? Now notice the logic here. If God loves you enough to send Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross for you, he loves you enough to take care of all your other needs, pay your bills, help you with your health, relationships. He says, if God so loved us so much that he gave his only son, can we not expect him to give us freely all his other gifts? Circle the phrase with him. Notice, with him, with God's gift of Jesus, you get many other gifts at the same time. Have you ever received a gift inside of a gift? Sure you have. You know, you get a box, you open it up, there's a box inside. You open it up, there's a box inside that. You open it up, there's a box inside that. And inside one gift is a bunch of other little gifts. At Christmas, God's gift to you is Jesus Christ. That's the big gift. That's the big box that God gives you. God so loved you that he gave his only son to die for you. That's the big gift. But inside the big box are many other smaller gifts. All of God's gifts are wrapped in Jesus. And when you get Jesus, you get all the other gifts that he wants to give you. I once did a study of this, and I made a list of all the gifts that God wants to give you because of Jesus. And in the New Testament, there are over 50. Over 50. In fact, the word gift and gifts is used 66 times in the New Testament. It's one of the major themes of the Bible. Today, I want us to just look at four of the Christmas gifts God wants to give you when you receive the big gift of Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard people say the phrase, the spirit of Christmas is what? Giving. Yeah, the spirit of Christmas is giving. Well, I don't want to shock you, but that's wrong. It's wrong. The spirit of Christmas is not giving. Yes, giving is a subset. It's an application. But the spirit of Christmas is not actually giving. The spirit of Christmas is actually receiving God's gift to you. You don't have anything to give until you've been given what God gave to you, the very first Christmas gift. Christmas is all about receiving God's gifts to you. So let's get right into it. Four things God wants to give you this Christmas. Number one, when I accept Jesus Christ, the big gift, God so loved me that he gave his son. When I accept the big gift, God gives me, number one, a new identity. He gives me a new identity. Some of you will be able to relate to this letter. Pastor Rick, I feel that for my entire life, I have been defined by other people. First, my mom constantly berated me to be something or someone she wanted me to be, but I had no interest in being. And sometimes my dad would join in, and the pressure to perform and to please and to gain their approval was overwhelming. I never felt validated growing up for who I really was. Then in school, I always felt pressured by my friends to fit in and to be cool and to do things I didn't want to do or didn't even like to do. And I wore a mask and pretended a lot most of my time through school. Then when I started dating, and later when I married my spouse, I felt their constant pressure to please them and to stuff my own feelings and my needs and to be who I wanted to be. I've worried so much my entire life about gaining the approval of others, I don't know who I am or what I'm supposed to be. That's an identity problem. That's an identity problem. Do you know what the fastest growing crime in the world is today? Identity theft. That's not very encouraging. But the truth is, we've all had our identity stolen. Who you were made to be. Sometimes your identity is stolen by your parents, and they want you to be what they want you to be, not who God made you to be. Sometimes your identity is stolen by your friends, by your peers, by partners, by professionals. Sometimes your identity is stolen by problems. Sometimes your identity is stolen by society, by culture, by the media that says you're supposed to act this way and look this way and talk this way and smell this way. And if you don't do that, you're not cool. And you end up being pressured to conform to culture rather than being who God designed you to be. And you don't even know your true identity. Let me ask you a very personal question. Where do you get your identity? On who you think you are? On what do you base who you think you are? Most people get their identity from one of three things: from their work, from their relationships, or from things. From work. You say to most people, who are you? What are you? And they'll say, I'm an accountant. I'm a plumber. I'm a truck driver. I'm a homemaker. Whatever. No, that's what you do. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. Some people try to get their identity from relationships. I'm a mother. I'm a dad. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm an uncle. I'm a grandparent. I'm a boss. Some people try to find their identity through what they have. This is my house. This is my bank account. These are the things that I collect, and I find my identity in my hobby. Let me give you some very important advice as a pastor who loves you and who cares about you. Never, never, ever, ever base your identity on something you can lose. Never. If you build your identity around your husband and he dies and you live for 30 years longer, what's your identity? If you build your identity on your career or on your job and you lose your job, you get fired, you get laid off, what's your identity? If you build your identity on your home and your things and it goes into foreclosure, or you build your identity on your wealth and your stock portfolio goes upside down, or you build your identity on how good looking you are, beauty fades. Anybody want to give a testimony on that? I know guys who in high school built their entire identity on their athletic ability. They're called jocks. And now they're just jokes. Because they've lost that ability. They can't catch that ball the way they used to catch it. If you build your identity on something that can be taken from you, you're going to lose your identity. It's not your true identity. What am I saying? The only thing that cannot be taken away from you is this: God's unconditional love for you. And so if you want to have your true identity and your new identity and your permanent identity, you must receive it from God and build it on the fact that you are loved by God unconditionally, and nobody can take that from you. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When someone accepts Christ, that's the big gift. I accept the big gift. God so loved the world that he gave his son. When someone accepts Christ, he becomes a brand new person inside. Circle that. Brand new person, new identity. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Jesus called it being born again. He said it's like getting a fresh start. It's like starting over. It's like not turn over a new leaf. You get a whole new life. He says when you accept the big gift of Christmas, God's love for you, God's son, he says you get a whole new ID. Now, what does it mean? Does that mean that now you're perfect? That now you never sin? That now you never struggle? Of course not. That doesn't mean that at all. It just means you're not identified with your sin. You're not identified with your struggle. You're not identified with your past. You have a new identity. I'm a child of God. It's new, it's true, and it's permanent. You see, one of the biggest mistakes people make is they let their failures define them. They let their fears define them. They let their faults define them. They let their sins and their struggles define them. This is why I love Celebrate Recovery. Our recovery program started here at Saddleback and now used in tens of thousands of churches. At Celebrate Recovery, we say this. People will come in, they'll stand up and they'll say, "Hi, my name's Bill, and I am a child of God who struggles with alcohol." You are not your sin. You are not your struggle. You are not your weakness. Your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. Your sin is not yourself. You are a child of God. That's a new identity. And God says that gives you a whole different position to come from. He says when you accept God's Christmas gift, Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his son. He says the first thing you get is a new identity. By the way, do you know what the ceremony is called? When we publicly identify that we have a new identity, do you know what that ceremony is called? Baptism. Baptism says, I got a new ID. I'm not the same woman I used to be. I'm not the same man I used to be. And so when we take a person and we put them under the water, just like Jesus was, baptism is a symbol of a burial and a resurrection. I've died to my old way of living, and I'm a new person. I got a new ID. I'm not the same woman I used to be. I'm not the same man I used to be. I still make mistakes. I still blow it, but I got a new identity. I am forgiven and loved by God. Have you been baptized? If you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. Now, the starting point of a new identity is this. You got to stop seeing yourself the way everybody else sees you, and you got to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You got to stop listening to the lies of the world, and you've got to start listening to the truth of God, what God says about you. You see, you don't know your true identity. Your parents don't even know your true identity. The only person who knows your true identity is God, who made you the creator. He knows what he made you to be. And you got to stop listening to the lies. The world says this to you. If you're not the most beautiful, you don't matter. If you're not the most educated, you don't matter. If you're not the most talented, if you're not the most athletic, you don't matter. If you don't get straight A's, you don't matter. If you're not the most famous, you don't matter, which means 99.9% of us don't matter. That's what the world says, because there aren't enough superstars in the world. And all growing up, you heard lies, people saying, you're never going to amount to anything. Who do you think you are? Why would you try that? Why can't you be like your brother? You're worthless. You're too old. You're too young. You're too fat. You're too ugly. You don't have the talent. And on and on and on. You've heard these voices over and over and over. You need to get your ID from God. God says, you are valuable. God says, you are lovable. God says, you are forgivable for the things you've done wrong. God says, you are capable. He's given you talents. God says, you are usable. God says, you are blessable. You need to listen to what God says. Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, if you follow my words, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Everybody in America knows the last part of that phrase. The truth will set you free. Almost nobody in America knows the first part of the sentence, which says, if you listen to me, says Jesus, if you follow my words, then you're going to know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. You're not going to learn truth from television. You're not going to learn truth from magazines. You're going to learn truth from your friends. They don't know the truth about you. God knows the truth about you. But you're not going to know it until you get a new idea. And that comes in the big package of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I need for transformation is the truth, a new identity. But then I need more than that. I need power to change. And that's the second gift God has for you. And that is God gives me a new ability. Not just a new identity. God gives me a new ability. He gives me a new power, a new energy, a new strength, a new capacity. See, I'm not just depending on willpower anymore to change. You have tried to change things in your life so many times, and it doesn't work. And you have set New Year's goals, and they last about a week, maybe a month, maybe at the most 3 months. Why? Because willpower doesn't work. You eventually get tired of doing what you're trying to do, and you give up. You don't need willpower. You need God power. And God says, I'm going to give you a new ability, and it's a new ability inside of you. I'm going to not just be around you. I'm going to put my spirit inside you. Look at this verse. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, God has poured out his love. Notice it's all about love. God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to you. Circle God's gift to you. God's Spirit is his second gift. He says, I'm not only going to help you, I'm not only going to be around you, I'm not only going to be with you, I'm not going to be working on you, I'm going to be working in you. I'm going to put my Spirit inside of you. That's what happens when you receive the gift of God's Christmas gift, Jesus Christ. I'm going to put God's Spirit in you. The next verse says this in the Bible. Now that you have God's Spirit in you, now God works in you, not just with you, for you, and around you, in you, by giving you both the desire and the ability to fulfill his good purpose for you. You know what the problem is with you and with me? We know the right things to do. We know the changes we want to make in our lives. We know how we'd like to be different at the end of this year. We have the desire to improve our lives. Everybody does, has a desire to improve their lives. We have the desire. We don't have the ability. And yet God says, I'm going to give you the desire and the ability to do my purpose for your life. And how am I going to get it? By putting my Spirit inside of you. God gives you the power to start over when you've blown it. God gives you the power to make changes you can't change. God gives you the ability you need, and God gives you the power to keep going. It's about God power, not willpower. What you need is grace, not guilt. Guilt does not work. Anytime you try to change your life by guilt, it isn't going to last, because guilt doesn't last. So don't ever try to motivate yourself to change simply out of guilt. It doesn't work. You don't need guilt in your life. You need God's grace. That's the power to change. You don't need law and legalism. You need love. Love is what changes us. And the more I'm filled with God's love, the more power I have to change. Look at the next verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but instead he fills us with power and love and self-discipline. Circle those three things: power, love, and self-discipline. Would you like more power? Yes. More love? Yes. More self-discipline? Yes. Then you need to get God's Spirit in your life, inside you. God says, I don't fill you with a spirit of fear. I give you the three ingredients you have to transform your life. If you want to change your life this next year, you're going to need truth. That's a new identity about you. You're going to need power. That's a new ability that God gives you. And you're going to need, the third thing is, you're going to need support. That's love.
Thanks so much for listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. You know, your prayers and financial support have a huge impact on millions of people here and around the world. So we really appreciate that. Thank you. And now Rick's going to share a letter from one of our listeners who says Daily Hope is making a real difference in their life.
Today I want to share with you a letter from Debbie that really, truly touched my heart. She wrote, Pastor Rick, I'm not sure how many times I've thought about emailing you, but I didn't. I'm not sure why, but today I listened to your Daily Hope message on facing giants in life and work, and I knew that I needed to say thank you. My story started when my husband of almost 24 years died suddenly at our home of a blood clot. He was just 49 years old. My daughter was the one who called 911, and life just seemed to stop. We were in shock after that death. At the funeral, my brother told me about your message series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. So I listened, and I held on to those words and what Kay had spoken, not knowing how significant they would become. My own son had been struggling with what we now think was undiagnosed bipolar disorder. He'd been struggling for about 3 years, and 11 weeks after my husband died, he took his life. Life stopped again. I have an incredible family and a group of friends, and they, along with my faith, got me and my daughter through things I never thought I could live through. But the resource that I kept turning to and listening to over and over again was your series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through When You Lost Your Son. You and Kay truly understood how I felt and how I still feel. We're part of a club that nobody wants to be a member of. Rick, I've learned so many things through this journey of grief, but the most important is that God keeps his promises, and he does bring beauty out of ashes. So I want to thank you and Kay from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story and not wasting your pain. Even though we've never met, I feel as though we're friends. Well, we are. And I ask God daily to help me use my pain to help others. I still struggle some days with guilt and grief, but I know that God is faithful with me every step of the journey. With a thankful heart, Debbie. Well, Debbie, my dear sister, this touched me, obviously, your message. And as somebody who's walked in your shoes having lost a son, I can tell you without a doubt that God is faithful. And I just want to say that I'm so proud of you, that God does not want us to waste our hurts. Never waste a hurt. You're going to go through the pain, so you may as well use it to help other people. And in 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says God takes us through problems and comforts us so we can then comfort others with the same comfort we've been given. And that's the motivation behind everything we do at Daily Hope. Friends, if you can give a gift to help Daily Hope, you can help people like Debbie, who's walking through the grief of having lost a husband and a son, but found new hope through this broadcast, which shares the message of Jesus. You who gave helped Debbie find healing, and you who gave have helped thousands and thousands of other people find hope and healing in Christ because of your gift. So thank you for your gifts today. God bless you.
You know, if you'd like to help support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and have your financial gift doubled by the $100,000 matching grant, it's easy. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.